Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
There's a story of a man told who had a horrible dream. He said, "I dreamed that the Lord took my Sunday offering and He multiplied it by 10. And this became my weekly income. So in no time, I lost my color TV, had to give up my new car, and I couldn't make my house payment. After all, what can a fellow do on $10 a week? If the Lord took your offering, church, multiplied it by 10, and made that your weekly income, how much would you make?" Think about that. And consequently, a father gave his little girl $2 and said, "You can do anything you want with one of the dollars, but the other dollar belongs to God." With joy, she ran to the candy store. And on the way, she tripped and $1 fell into the storm drain. She got up and said, "Well, Lord, there goes your dollar." You know, I got to thinking about the first song that we sang, and believe me, worship touched my heart today, because I know that God loves me and I want to love Him back. And I hope that you do too, with all your might. But there was one phrase in that first song that says, "Roaring like a lion." And the one phrase says, "My faith is dead, I need a resurrection." And I wonder, church, in this area where God says to test Him in our finances, if you wouldn't examine your heart and find out if your faith is dead. Because that's what keeps us from giving the right way. Not just giving, but giving the way that the Lord has instructed us to give. And the first way that He's instructed us to give, what we talked about last week, is bringing what is already His. The first 10%. It's already the Lord, so He instructs us to bring it to Him. And then what it follows, and we're going to talk about this a little more, is the blessings that come after, because He blesses the rest. And today we're going to talk about what to do with the blessed rest. He wants to do that. He wants to tell us that. Now, today's message, I told Pastor Aaron when we were in prayer this morning, and we were praying over today, and we were praying over people. I was telling him, I have this anxious nervousness about today. Because I'm excited about the message, but I was a little bit nervous that, "Lord, I just want to say it the way you want me to say it." It's like I qualified it to, how many of you have been to Six Flags and rode like the Arachnophobia or one of the big roller coasters for the first time? You get on, you're standing in line and you see what it's doing and you get this, what's it going to do? What is it going to feel like when I get up? I'm anxious. I want to do it. And I get on it. And then you get on the Arachnophobia and you get strapped in. And there's about 32 of you in this big old circle. And then all of a sudden you start going up. And the ground leaves your feet. And there's a lot of space between your feet and the ground. And you get up there and you're strapped in so you can't fall out. Hope, you know, pray the Lord that you don't fall out. And you get up there and it stops. And you're like, "Oh, it's coming. I know it's coming, but I don't know when it's coming." And it's coming. And then all of a sudden, the seats go forward a little bit. And you're going, "Oh, it's coming. It's coming." And then all of a sudden, you're looking at somebody, "When's it coming?" And it falls out. And you're going, "Whoo!" And it's like, you know, have you ever been to that part where you can't scream? Oh, and you're done. That's kind of the way I feel about this morning's message. Because it's so important for us to get. Susan said this morning in our little time, she says, you know, we have so much fear about giving what's ours that we should have even more fear about what we don't give to the Lord and what happens after that. Because God wants to bless us abundantly. He doesn't want to withhold any good gift from His people, but He's got standards and He's got ways and He's got an order. Because our God is not a God of chaos. Our God is a God of order. He created the order. And we live in the order that He created. How do you see your money? Just think about that. How do you see your money? Do you see it how you want to see it? Or do you really desire to see it the way it was heavenly designed? Last week's message was God must be first. And if you didn't hear that message, it's on there now. And you need to hear that message because it goes hand in hand with today. Because if you don't get that God must be first, then none of the rest of this will fall in line. You won't get the rest of this. When you understand that God must be first, and not just lip service in our life, because we've all said it, right? God's first in my life. But you know what? When reality hits, when there's a heart checkup and our head checkup, we really find out that my life doesn't reflect that God is first. I've done that numerous times. And I look and I say, Lord, and I'm sorry that I put you on the back burner. Lord, I'm sorry that I made you second or I made you third when you must be first, no matter what the results turn out to be. God must be first. And a heart that desires to be obedient to God is one that will trust and step out in faith. So I ask you again, we sang the words, my faith is dead, I need a resurrection. Is that true for you today? I need you to think about that. And that's rhetorical, so you don't have to raise your hand. But you really need to, what someone said the other day about a football team who was penalty after penalty and a penalty. And someone said, that coach needs to have a come to Jesus meeting with those people. But maybe we all need a come to Jesus meeting because he's supposed to be first. He's supposed to be lifted up in all aspects of our life. So I wonder, is your faith dead and do you need a resurrection? So we bring the tithe to God, his church. Why? Because it already belongs to him. And when we bring the first 10% to God, scripture tells us he will redeem or he will bless the rest. God invites us to test him in this. In scripture, it actually says it. He is actually daring you and me to do this and see if words are true. When you were growing up, the way that people got you to do things, did they have to dare you? Raise your hand if you went for dares as you were growing up. Maybe you do it now. Some of you don't. Well, maybe some of you need to be dared. And you need to accept the dares because that's what God is telling you. In Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Here it comes. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Who doesn't want that in their life? Who doesn't want to be blessed that much abundantly? That when you give to God the way he asks you to give, your vats, your storerooms won't be able to hold the blessings that he has for you and for me. Bring it. That's right. Bring it on. So that brings us today's message, which I've entitled Multiply. Multiply. But understand this. Unless God is first, and unless God gets his first and best in the order that he asks it, it will not multiply in the heavenly realms. Now, you may be able to make money. You may be gifted at making money. There's a lot of people who have that gift of making money. But that's not the eternal way that we need to see money. Because God wants to use it to build his kingdom. And if you're a follower of Christ, this is the way you see how God's kingdom is being built and what he says about our money. This is what God wants to do with the rest, assuming that you've given him first and the best, is to multiply what has already been blessed for you and ultimately for his kingdom to bring him glory, to bring him honor, and to bring him adoration because all eyes, all hearts are to point to him. Would you pray with me? Father God, you know the anxiousness in my heart for this to be heard. But it's only words, it's only lip service unless your spirit penetrates our hearts with these messages, Lord. It's your word. This is not my word that I made up. This is your word, Lord. The very words that you had written down for us to live by. And you ask us today to test you in this one thing, God. You give us that opportunity and that permission to test you in this area, God. Please help us to do that, God. I want to believe not just in you, but I want to believe you, God. I want to believe that when you say you'll bless the rest and you'll multiply it, that your kingdom might grow, that people will be pointed to you and that Jesus will be made famous and more people will be redeemed for the kingdom of God. That's what you want to do, God. And I want to believe in that message and in that promise, God. So help me Thank you, Spirit, for reminding me and remind all of us when we have put you in second place or when we've decided in our own what comes first in our life. Because if, as a follower of Christ, he must be first. I pray that message for each of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory." Let me say it again. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So if you're registered on Community Church Builder, and many of you are, and have opted to receive our newsletter. That's how I'm communicating some things. And I sent out a little meditation kind of thing in preparation, kind of bridging between last week's message and the message coming up. And it's kind of like an appetizer for today's message. But Paul says, and he's speaking a promise from God in this scripture. It's a promise. And he says this. He makes it personal by saying, "My God." So is he your God? You've claimed him. If you sit here today, most of you, you have claimed him as your God. So here's the personal. He's making it about you and him. It's personal. "My God." And then he says it's positive. "He shall supply." When you don't have and you want and you need, God will supply. He says God will supply. And then he's pointed in it. He's specific in it. He's direct in it. He says all your need, not just this need now and this need now, or maybe occasional this need, but he says all of your need will be supplied. And then he just qualifies how much of the need. He says according to his riches and glory. He makes it plentiful. Because when we think of God, we know that God owns everything. God has riches and riches and riches. He needs for nothing. He wants for nothing because it all belongs to him. So he supplies all of our need out of his riches in glory. And he can just supply it to everybody because he's got more than enough. He's more than sufficient. And he's got just what you need. And it says, and powerful too. Because it's by Christ Jesus. And the work that he did on the cross. So this is my promise, God says. But here's what I need you to do to receive my promise. If I am your God, then my son that Jesus did, must accept that. You must accept and claim and live by the works that Jesus did on the cross. And that's a hard life to live. Let me tell you. People said, "Oh, come to Jesus. It's joyful. It's great. It's happy. It's blessed." And that's true. All that's true. But when we lead someone to Christ, we also must tell them that it's also dangerous. It's also risky. There's also trial. And there will be suffering. Because we have to understand and relate to the work that Jesus did on the cross. So therefore, we share in his sufferings, we will also share in his glory. It's already been ordained by God. So to paint the Christian life like, oh, it's going to be happy every day. You're going to have plenty of this and plenty of that. We're going to go to church and we're going to enjoy each other. And we're going to love each other. Yeah, but life is messy. And we don't do church in here. We do church out there where it's messy, where God has called us to. Where people have need. Not that you don't have need, but when we focus on someone else's need, our need becomes less, right? It becomes not so great. So, 2 Corinthians 9:8 also says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." All grace. So that always having all sufficiency in everything, he's claiming it right here, that you will be, everything will be sufficient in everything. So you may have abundance for every good deed. Some versions say every good work. And scripture also ordains this when he says the good works that he's already prepared for you in advance to do. He's given you everything that you need, that you have an abundance for every good work. So when we look at our finances and we look about them being blessed after we've given God the first and the best And then he redeems and blesses the rest. He's redeeming it and he's blessing it so that the work of his kingdom can be multiplied. So he can take, because you've gotten it right. And if you've gotten it right, that means you trust in the Lord and you have faith in the Lord. And you're going to walk in that and you're going to trust him with the other 90% that is blessed. And whenever he says, I need you to give, then you're going to give because it's going to bless his kingdom. You don't hold back. Lord, you said you were going to bless this, so this is mine now. No, because we have a different heart set. We have a different mindset. Because if we believe the first and the best goes to God and we bring it to him, then we also believe that the rest of it actually belongs to him too. And he's allowed us to be good stewards of what he wants in his kingdom. And when we grow, we are blessed. God wants to multiply your finances, church, so that his work is financed, accomplished, come to completion. However you want to say it, because God's work is bigger and greater than you and me. But he wants to be able to trust you with it. Can he trust you with it? For God to say, I trust you with it, he has to see that we get it right. Today's message is about multiplication. How many of you have ever seen addition in your finances? Raise your hand. How many of you have seen addition? You've been able to add this plus this, and you get this. How many of you have seen subtraction or division? Oh, more hands go up. Okay. So you subtract this from this, and you go, oh, that's not so much. Or even division, that kind of, that multiplies the subtraction, right? But who wouldn't be okay with multiplication? Raise your hand. In your finances. Everybody would be okay with multiplication. This morning I'd like to share with you two principles. Two principles I've learned that are necessary before blessed multiplication happens in our finances. Now, because of what we learned last week, that give the first and the best to God and the rest will be blessed, we can find ourselves today seeing the second part of what God's intentions are with our finances. You can multiply without God's blessing, yes. But if we want God to multiply our resources to benefit his kingdom and what we have left to be blessed, we must follow the principles that God lays out for us to follow. In Luke 9, 10 through 17, is where we're going to get the bulk of our text today. I want to read this to you. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them, and he spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now, this is key, this next few phrase here. Now, the day began to wear away. Remember that. The day began to wear away. Jesus is here, and he's been speaking to these people. We don't know how long, but it seems like it's been all day. Because now he says, the day began to wear away. And the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages, the countryside, to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. Here are the apostles saying to Jesus, okay, Jesus, you've talked long enough. These people are hungry. These people are tired. We got to send them so they can go and get something to eat. Okay, we got to send them so they can go. But here's what Jesus said. He said to them, you give them something to eat. Well, what? What, Jesus? We don't have anything. What do you mean? They said, we have no more. And they found these 5 loaves and 2 fish. We've got 5 loaves. And we have 2 fish. Unless we are to go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. And here's what you have to understand about Scripture. Maybe you've heard this before. Back in then, they counted men only. Not that women weren't important or children, but this is how they qualified. So in reality, if they've got about 5,000 men, there were really about 15 to 25,000 people there. When you count the women and you count the children, the multiples of children that they had, there were probably, we would probably say a safe guess of about 20,000 people who followed Jesus to hear this message. And the disciples are seeing about 20,000 people and saying, what did you just say? Feed these people? And then he says this. And he said to the disciples, Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. 20,000 people. And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples who sat before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. Now I'm telling you, you heard this story. There's a miracle about to happen here. And I want to explain this miracle and the principles that lie in here about multiplication. Scripture is telling us that crowds followed Jesus and he spoke to them and did some healings with about 20,000 people. Now here we go back. Now the day began to wear away. So we're at the end of the day. People have already been sitting. They've been walking. They're tired. And I'm sure their children are just like your children. When they're sitting there with you, they get tired of sitting and they're anxious and now they're grumpy because they're hungry. And so they're whining and they're crying. And maybe some of the adults are whining and crying because they're hungry. It's near the end of the day. And this is probably what's going on. But he says, put them in groups of 50. Now, if I said that right here, I say, okay, I need you guys to just yourselves. I just need you to find each other and sit in groups of about 25 people. How long do you think that would take? Some of you would get up and say, it's just like students. I did that the other week. It's like, I need you in groups of, and I go over to one group. I said, I need a group of 10. And there's the one group over here. It's got 13 in it. I said, groups of 10. And I go over here and there's a group of 7. I said, groups of 10. It's like, and so do you think we would be, it would be difficult. So they've got 20,000 people and he says groups of 50. Well, Jesus, why not more than that? Why not in groups of 1,000? So this was a large group of people and 12 disciples, groups of 50. So it's going longer. Now that the day was wearing on, how long do we think does this added to this time? So after the disciples came up with the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and they bring it to Jesus to pray over it. Now, I wonder if they thought when Jesus prayed over the fish and loaves, it would automatically multiply. Okay, Jesus is going to pray for it, and the 5 loaves are going to poof, and we're going to have lots of bread. And the fish, poof, we got tons of fish now. So Jesus prays and gives it to Peter and the disciples, and he tells them, get this. Listen to this. It's blessed. Now give it away. They bring to Jesus what he needs a miracle from. What they need to feed these people. It needs to be multiplied. It's 5 loaves, 2 fish. It still is after he prays. It's still 5 loaves and 2 fish after he prays. And then he says these words. Now it's blessed. Give it away. So Jesus prays and does this. And I can see that these disciples are going, what? Give this away? Like, really, Lord? It's still 2 fish. It's still 5 loaves. We have to have more than this, Jesus. And Jesus might have said again, you didn't hear me. It's blessed. Give it away. So the disciples went and gave the food out to about 20,000 people. Scripture tells us that they all ate and they were all satisfied. And not only that, there were 12 baskets full of broken pieces. Each disciple got to take home a doggy bag for all their work. Question. When did the miracle happen? Was it when the food was brought to Jesus? Jesus prays and blesses the food. Gives the 2 fish and the 5 loaves back to the disciples to feed the people. When did the miracle happen? Listen, because this applies to you and me. The miracle happened when the disciples were obedient and in their hands as they gave it away, the miracle happened. Jesus blessed it and said, now it's blessed. What are you going to do with it? Give it away. And when we give it away, miracles happen for the kingdom of God. So here we are, real simple. Two principles of multiplication. Principle one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. So you got to get it right first. The first and the best goes to the Lord. He blesses the rest, redeems the rest. Now it qualifies to be multiplied. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. Just think about what if they had taken the fish and the loaves and started giving away without Jesus' blessing. It never would have multiplied, church. The reason is it multiplied because Jesus blessed it. And in Hebrews 7 tells us that when we tithe, Jesus receives our tithes and blesses them. Jesus receives our tithes. When we give, we're giving to Jesus so he can bless it. And then it will multiply. It's the same thing as taking the fish and loaves, no matter how small it is, with the blessing of Jesus on it, so it can multiply. So will our tithes. But without the blessing of Jesus, it can never multiply. And church, we have to understand that. Now, like I said before, some of you are gifted at making money. There's some people who have the gift of making money. They understand that realm of thinking, which hurts my brain. And so outside of God, yes, you can. But how much more would it multiply and be blessed for the kingdom if you brought it to Jesus first to be blessed? Because if we don't get the beginning right, the first 10%, and the rest is not blessed, it doesn't matter what you do with it. It won't benefit God's kingdom because he won't bless it unless we get the right order first. Principle number two, it has to be given away to multiply. Because God, in God's economics, God multiplies. He does immeasurably more than we could ever fathom and think. It has to be given away. Remember Peter, it's blessed, now give it away. The miracle can't happen unless the Lord blesses, and it can't happen unless it's given away. The miracle happened when the disciples began giving away, It's the same principle as like, Lord, I want you to do some great things. I'm like, Lord, I want to know that this is you. Lord, I want to have faith that this is what I'm supposed to do, Lord. And then we stand there and we wait. Nothing's happening, Lord, so that must not be your will. Not true. Not true. Because, you see, God wants to understand that you believe in him. That you believe him. That his promises are true. So God's not going to open the door sometimes until we take that first step of faith. The miracle is not going to happen until we take that first step of faith and give it away. That's when the miracle happens and God is glorified and God is blessed and the kingdom benefits. Do you understand that there are people who tithe and give the first to God, but they don't give over and above their tithe? They don't give over and above. Remember last we learned that when we bring, because it already belongs to God, when we bring the best of the first fruits, the first 10% to God, the rest is redeemed and blessed. So in essence, if we don't give away what's blessed for the kingdom, for the sake of the kingdom, we are eating up and keeping for ourselves what God has blessed. It's mine now. Yes, Lord, I gave it to you, so you blessed this, so that means my family will be blessed. God didn't bless it, so it'll be just about you and your family. There's a whole kingdom of people outside these doors where church is supposed to happen that need the benefits of the blessing of the kingdom, and sometimes it's our money that makes that happen. Church, maybe this is you. There are people that want their finances to multiply, but they won't give the first to God, but they'll give here and there or to this and to that. It's like, I'm giving to God. I'm giving. You know, and this was unfortunate, but I've known people who have six-figure incomes, but they didn't tithe. They were part of the church. They came to church. They participated. They even served in some areas. But they didn't tithe. They were great about, I need this room painted. Oh, I'll supply the paint for that. Yeah, I'll give that. We need a remodel of a church room, or we need a projector for the church. Hey, no problem. I got that covered. I'll donate the money for that. You see, they want to be in control. They didn't want to give God control. And God doesn't bless what he doesn't have control of. We have to get the first right before the rest will be blessed. Because it's about the kingdom. It's not about you and me. It's about, do we believe in what God's plan is? Even for us, the fountain, the vision that he's called us to. Do we really believe that comes from God? And if we do, then we get the right, first right, and then let him bless the rest, and then we give to ministry that people will be reached and know Jesus in some way, shape, or form. And that's ministry, church. The kingdom of God is at hand. What are we doing about it, disciples of Christ? Okay, so let's wrap all this into a simple phrase. Wrap it into a simple phrase that we can remember and repeat. As a matter of fact, in remembering Pastor Bill, and he and Terry are away this weekend, but he tells these great jokes from the platform. Pete and Repeat were on a fence. Pete fell off. Who's left? Pete and Repeat are on a fence. Pete fell off. Who's left? You get it? You get it? I keep saying repeat. This phrase that I'm about to share with you is something that needs to be repeated in your life on a regular basis. This is something that needs to be ingrained in your mind and your heart. And the phrase, let's put it up there on the screen. What I keep is all I have. What I give, God multiplies. What I keep is all I have. But when I put it in God's hands, it multiplies. So I want you to write that phrase down. Put it in your phone. Get your phone out if you don't have anything and type it into your memo. Send a text to yourself. And then when you get home, write it. Post it. Remember it. What I keep is all I have. What I give, God multiplies. In fact, Jesus taught it very clearly in Luke 6:38 where he says, give and what? And give and it will be given to you, or you shall receive, some versions say. So he says, give and it will be given to you. In other words, when we give of what's blessed, God will multiply it. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. What do you mean, my lap? It's going all over the place. I need it. That's how much it's overpouring. That's how much it's overflowing that we can't keep it contained. For the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. How generous are you? How extravagant are you with the Lord's money? Steward, Christian, follower of Christ, those who say he's my God. Give and it will be given to you. What you keep is all you have, but what you give multiplies. I want to share a story with you that many of you in here don't know, and some of you may have not heard. Because this happened 15 years ago, about 15 years ago. Pastor Bill and I were sitting in my office this week, and we were sharing, because I wanted to run some of the stuff by him. I want to make sure that he and I were connected, and that the direction I was going is we're both on board with. So we're sitting in my office, and he tells me a story, and I love the story. About 15 years ago, before this building was here, Trinity Christian Fellowship was worshiping in what is now the Student Center, the other building. And Pastor Bill had a vision with leadership that they wanted to start a school in Peru. And as he was preaching and as he was casting the vision, and during the vision, while he stepped out in faith, he already stepped. He didn't say, God, I need to see the money before I preach it. He stepped out in faith and he preached it. And while he was preaching, a man got up from his seat and he started walking towards the steps. Now, in this day and age, someone steps up and starts walking towards you, you're going to go, where's the ushers? Where's the ushers? Get him. What are you doing? But he came up, and while Pastor Bill was casting the vision, he placed a $20 bill on the steps of the stage. What happened after that was nothing more than a miracle. More people started bringing checks and cash. And they started putting them on the steps. And when all was said and done, they had $15,000 above the tithe as seed money to start the school in Peru.
That's God doing a miracle with what is blessed. That is God multiplying so that his work can be done, that his work can be realized, and that people will come to him. That's where we are, church. That's where we always are. Because when we understand that it belongs to God and that he's the one that multiplies it, it makes all the difference in the world. Fountain Church, we have an amazing vision for what we can be in this community. We have been and are continuing to meet. I want to share with you something. And it's starting to come to realization. It's starting to become reality. We got our approved to be the Fountain. We have a state, we have a federal ID and everything. We are the Fountain. But we decided as leadership that we wanted to be more than just about us. We wanted to be about the community. So we set up a CDC, which we got state approval, which is an impact community development fund. Just for the community, not for the church, but to reach the community. And so now when we set that up and we're on the way, we have a meeting on October 3rd with the federal government to get approved for our federal ID for this. What does it allow us to do? You may say, like me, when I first, okay, what the heck is that? I don't know what that means. So after explanation, it means that now we can apply with a grant writer for grant money that wouldn't go to churches, but can go to this because we have programs available to reach the community. Whether it be for food or clothing or tutoring. Our goal right now, we've already been meeting, the Higgs are standing right back there, Pastor Aaron and myself and a few others. We've already started meeting to put programs together to start this next summer. Summer camps for students to come onto a church facility and have athletics or whatever. And some of you can say, it's God in the back door. What good is that? Well, you know what? God fed people first and took care of a need before they would ever listen to him about their spiritual needs. So we're trying to get them in here so we can take care of a physical need. Maybe it's daycare. Maybe it's a sports camp. Maybe it's learn how to play the guitar. Whatever it is, we get the kids in here and we teach them these things for a very discounted rate. Not like they go to get lessons here, which costs them $90 an hour or whatever. But here's the benefit. We get to share the story of Jesus with them. The grant pays for the program because we're meeting a need in the community. Daycare, food. And we get to share Jesus with them by walk and by talk. And that's what we're about to be realized in the life of the Fountain here. We hope in the next month and a half, because after October 3rd, if it's approved, it takes about 3 weeks to get approved, and then we can start finding a grant writer to go out there and find grants for a program that we're building right now to start this coming summer. God will multiply if we do what we're supposed to do first. So I come to a real quick, and it's a little after 12, and I need you to bear with me because these are things that we have to say. We're a family, right? We're a church family. We've come together as two churches, but we don't want to say that anymore. We're trying to get away from that because we want to be one church, right? Who wants to be one church? Raise your hand. One church. The Fountain Church is who we are. But we knew as leadership there would be struggles. Statistics told it, counseling told it, that when you merge two cultures together, you're going to have attrition. You're going to have struggles. There will be people who say that, yes, I can lay that down for, you know, because of this and that. And then they realize, you know what? I thought I'd be able to, but I can't. It means too much to me. And we're all that way. I'm not judging anybody because we're all that way to some extent. We all have things in our life that we just don't. God's asking us to let go of and we're still holding on to. So we met and we merged as leadership and we felt God leading us. This was a team. This wasn't Pastor Bill and myself making all the decisions. This was a team of leadership that made these decisions and we prayed about it and we fasted about it. And we decided in that we would keep all staff for up to a year because who wants to say to somebody, okay, we're merging, you're out of a job. Nobody likes that, do they? Those hard decisions need to be made and we are making those. But so we have some of these things up against us. We had a budget that we came up with about $428,000. But it was based on 350 people with 10% attrition. And attrition means those people who will transition out, who won't stay with it. So you lose people from here. Hopefully they're going to another church, but They don't go here anymore. Well, we've incurred between a 40 and 50% attrition. So we have about, last week we had 262 people. So we've lost a little over 100 people in 8 months that we've been going. For whatever reasons, you know. We still feel called that God has called us to this. And so we said, okay, we've got to make some decisions quicker than normal. And God has blessed us with those decisions and helped us find it. But let me tell you this right here before I go on. The Gwinnett County, and I'm guessing that most of us here live in Gwinnett County, the Gwinnett County median household income as of right now is $60,000 a year. The median household income in Gwinnett County. Okay, let's say $60,000 and the tithe on that is $6,000. You times that by the giving units that we have here at the fountain, about 100. Brian, where are you? Brian, how many giving units do we have? How many? 140. Okay, I'm just basing this on 100 giving units of who come here now. If you multiply $6,000 by the 100, what do you get? $600,000. Okay, our budget is $428,000. So even with the attrition that we've had, if we are all giving first, and of course that's a variable. Some people make more, some people make less, some people don't make hardly anything at all. But if you take an average, we still, church, even with the attrition, should be able to meet and exceed the budget that we had, that we had set down by leadership. But based on statistics that we've taken, our finance team has taken a poll about the giving of our church, we've come up short most weeks of the goal that we need to make the budget. Here's what the study came up with. This is not to be like say to you, if this steps on your toes, praise the Lord, come on. Because if it goes from the toes to the heart, then that's what I'm looking for, right? So listen, finance team did a study in the Fountain's tithing and giving and came up with this. 80% of the tithes and the gifts that come in are from only 20 of our family units. 80% of our giving comes from 20 of our families. And this is who it's really for right here. That we've all got to come. And it's not just for us. We got to think beyond that. It's not just for the fountain. This has got to be something that's in your heart, that's second nature, no matter where God plants you, no matter where you go. 20% of our tithing and giving come from 95 of our family units. Only 20% of the tithing and the giving that comes into the fountain is given by 95 of our family units. Okay, think about this. If we had 100%, which I know is in world, church world is unrealistic sometimes, but what if we had 100% of our giving units tithing first and giving generously? That budget would be closer to $1 million. And so our budget to stay here, our needs like the note on the building, the utilities, those things, the salaries, the whatever those things are, that's what it cost to operate. But that would just be a fraction, because what we would have left to do ministry would be exceedingly more, because it would be multiplied by the Lord, because we got what is supposed to be first and best right in the beginning, and that's to give it to God, and then he will bless the rest. So we can do it, church, but God needs more of us. He doesn't expect for us to stay together and just do it with us. When we do these things and God does miracles and people see them, they say, I want to be a part of those miracles. But it takes you reaching out to people and sharing that with them. So that's what I want to tell you. He is a pastor by all means, Lee Pena right here. We had a conversation before, and we were talking about my knee. Because I'm about 7 weeks now out of knee surgery, knee replacement, and I'm doing pretty good. But here's the thing. We're talking about having to focus on doing things that we used to do in second nature, and I have to focus on them now so I don't build bad habits. So walking down steps right now. If I come over here, walking up the steps is good. I about tripped there, but I didn't lift my foot high enough. But walking down the steps, so here I go. I'm walking down the steps. This is the left knee. Okay, that's good because I got strength in my right knee, and so I put it down just the right way it's supposed to be. But here's what happens. Because my knee has plate in it, metal in it now, I've got to refocus on a habit I used to have. I used to go down the steps, no problem. I didn't even think about it because it was second nature. But now, so I don't build bad habits, I got to focus on my knee, and I've got to make sure my knee stays straight, and I bend the right muscles in the right place and take it slow, but it builds up. Once I get that strength back and that second nature back, I will go up and down steps without thinking about it again. And sometimes, church, that's where we need our finances to be. We forget because we get out of the habit of knowing that this is the right way it's supposed to be, and we need to build those habits back up. And it takes time for some of us. Our finances, we've overcommitted. Our credit cards are maxed out. Our kids are on these stuff, and our money's committed. So we have to rethink how we're going to get back to giving God the first and the best and let Him bless. It takes time. Sometimes I have to focus every week then. Okay, I'm going to give this week. God's got to bless the rest because I don't know where the mortgage is coming from. But I'm going to give to God, and I'm going to stay right in line because this habit needs to be in my life. Because I will be blessed. And when it becomes second nature, giving becomes a joy. And we all have to be doing it, not just for the fountain. And I'm not saying all this just for the fountain. It has to be something in your life because you're... Possibly, and I'm thinking about young people, mostly here, when you grow up and you go to college, you might get married, you might move to another state, you might go someplace else. This principle has to be in you no matter where God plants you. So that the kingdom, not just the fountain, so the kingdom will be blessed and the kingdom will multiply. Not just for the fountain. So here's what we're doing, and I'm going to close the service. And our last thing that we're going to be doing is... Because this is all tied together. If you believe in what the work that Jesus did on the cross, then you believe in what God did for you. You believe not in God, just in God, but you believe God. It's time to walk it out. We're going to close the service by taking communion, and we're going to give our tithes and offerings at the basket, at the tables today. And here's why. And I've got them right here. And in the backs of your seats, you have what's called a 90-day tithe challenge. A 90-day tithe challenge. And they're in the backs of the seats, so you can pull one per family. And it gives you, it's fill out this form and place in the offering basket. But I want you to pray about it. And maybe you've already prayed about it. Maybe the Lord's already pricked your heart today and you said, this is what I'm going to do. Lord, how much am I going to do? Or maybe you're not a tither and Lord, I'm going to tithe starting right now for the next 90 days. So here's the deal. These wouldn't fit in the little pouches that we pass. So we've got baskets if you want to give today and next week too. We're asking you to take these 2 weeks, today through next week, and if you need to pray about it, then you pray about it. But we want you to turn, every family to turn in this card if you're going to participate. And you put it in these baskets this week and next week. Or if you want to come by and hand it to us, God spoke to you and you want to hand it to us, then you do so. And for the next 90 days, we want you to be faithful for the people that don't tithe, and you know who you are. We want you to tell God that you're going to tithe no matter what for the next 90 days. You're going to bring the first and the best to Him. And then He says, test me. And for those of you who are tithers, and many of you are, your challenge is to give generously and ask the Lord what that means. And some of you tithe and give generously. And so I want to challenge you in your walk of faith that maybe the Lord is asking you to give an extravagant gift to the church. For maybe this ministry that we want to do in the community. Now, we can't receive that into that fund yet until it's there, but you might commit that and say, when that fund is approved by the federal government, we can start receiving monies in it because then it's tax deductible. Then I'm ready to give a gift to that fund. Maybe that's your extravagant giving. And with your bulletin today, you've got an explanation sheet. And it looks like, what did I do with it? Oh, here it is. It looks like this. And on the front and the back, it gives explanation of the tithe challenge and why, when, and how. And how you make your checks or tithing online or whatever. But I want you to pray about this, and I want you to consider what your part is in this. Because again, it's about our immediate need. We need to be a church that gives, because God's blessings will not be revealed if we don't get it right. But more than that, God wants your heart in this. So he can use you, because he knows if he needs to move you over here, he knows that, hey, I'm moving them because I know in their heart they got it right. And this ministry over here needs their heart to make this work for my kingdom. So it's not just about us. It is about us, but it's not just about us. So I'm asking you, church, to trust God in this and take a step out. Here's the other thing. The last thing. And I say it last because this is probably the thing you'll remember most. If you find in the next 3 months that you haven't been blessed, that you've given with the right heart, and at the end of 3 months you didn't feel the blessings of God in your life, then we're going to commit to giving every money that you gave over the last 3 months. We're going to give it back to you. Doesn't matter what condition, because God's in control of this. Not you, not even your money. God's in control of this. So God will bless what we give to him first and best. And believe me, I know. I've done it, and I have blessings. They're not all financial blessings. Sometimes it comes in the way of peace. Sometimes it comes in the way of direction. Sometimes it comes in the form of, God, I've been waiting for this person in my life for a long time. And God, I know you got somebody out there for me. And I'm asking you to bless me. And I'm going to be obedient to what you've called me to. And I'm going to look for your blessings, God. That's what it is. So, I'm going to pray. And this is going to close our service. So when you're done, I'm not going to get back up here. Because I want it to be about you and God now. So you pray, you spend some time. If you need prayer, you want to come up here and be prayed for, then we'll pray for you. I'll be standing up here. But you take some time at the cross. Remember what Jesus did for you. He gave it all. He gave everything. And no one asked him to. He laid his life down. No one took it from him. He laid his life down for you and me. So I want you to consider that as you meditate and are grateful and thankful for what Jesus did. But then, ask God to tell you what that next step is for you. Let me pray. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for your love, because you first loved us, God, and then you just want us to love back. And part of that love is giving everything that we have, God, our whole being, to love you, because you gave your whole being to love us by giving your Son. He gave up his life for us. Help us to see this, Father. Father, we need to get this right in our life. If we want to see the blessings multiplied in our lives for the sake of the kingdom, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Father. But we have to take the necessary steps of what you've directed us to get that right. So, Father, bless each person here, Father. I know that some are struggling. Father, they're struggling with this thought, this concept. But God, I know I've been there. But God, I pray that they will step out in faith and take that step, because they know that the blessing's coming, that your promises are true, and that the way that they live their life right now is all the difference in the blessing and the multiplicity of those blessings in their life. So God, thank you for Jesus. We take this communion now, remembering his work on the cross for us. And we honor him in that. But also, Father, we want to honor you back by the giving of what already belongs to you. We bring our tithe to the storehouse. And God, we want to give where you want us to give with the rest. Because we know that what we keep is all we have. But what we give for your kingdom, for Jesus, is what multiplies. We pray all this in the powerful, and the resurrected name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You get up as you're ready. Communion here, and you can bring your tithes and offerings up here as well.